Happy Mother's Day. Good morning. We want to welcome you to Northwest Assembly of God's Mother's Day service. Now, if you're joining us, could you give us a wave, or actually a little more than that, tell us hi and tell us where you're from. And even if you're a Northwesterner, say hi this morning so that we can see that you came in. But I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all ladies across the land. We want to open in prayer. And we want to thank God for all that He has done, for Him watching over and keeping us, and for this absolutely gorgeous day that He has created to celebrate our ladies. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You that You are watching over and keeping, that You're blessing, that Your hand of protection is upon us. We pray, Lord, for those that may be touched by COVID, that You would touch their bodies and bring healing, that You will anoint the ministry of the Word across the world this day. Pastors of all faiths that preach the Word, anoint that Word and bless our ladies, our women, our mothers, whether biologic, foster, adoptive, or spiritual. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in 30 plus years of ministry, I have never preached Proverbs 31. But let me tell you why. It's not because I don't like Proverbs 31. I love Proverbs 31. But I've always felt, preceding to pastoring, that I would attend Mother's Day with my mom. And many times, single women, or women who did not give birth to children, would kind of be left out. And so I always kind of felt weird in those services. And I said to myself, self, when you pastor, you can do it another way. And so for 30 plus years, that's how it has been until this Mother's Day. Women have many children, whether biologic or not. You may be a foster mom and you love that child as much as if it were your own. You may be an adoptive mom, and that's the child of your choosing. You may be a spiritual mother, and these are the children that God has entrusted to you in your church or your ministry. This message is for you this day, because the principles of virtue that Proverbs 31 lays out for us apply to all women, whether they are biologic mothers, adoptive, foster, or spiritual. The truth of this word that we will share today applies to all of us. And so the first thing we have to recognize is a scripture in Psalms 127:3 that says this: children are a gift from God. They're a reward. And so I think about that frequently, and when I train my leaders that minister to children, I talk about that God has placed these children with us, and they're ours. They are rewards for ministry, and we need to invest in them with the same accord and love that we would our own children. Many of you know that my mom passed away 3 years ago and won her reward. I know she heard, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And at her memorial 3 years ago, her granddaughter, Bridget, who is a missionary now in Honduras, read Proverbs 31 to honor her life. And so this morning, I want to share Proverbs 31 and some truths that Mother's Life taught us. Understand this. Scripture clearly shows us the virtues of a godly woman and the things that are to be present in our life. Now, what you need to know, because people preach Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, very frequently they leave out Proverbs 1 through 9. Do you understand that Proverbs 31 was the King Lemuel's mother speaking to him? And in 1 through 9, she's saying, don't pick this type, don't do these things. And in the 10th verse, she says, but look for this kind of woman. And that's where we're going this morning. It was her advice to that king then, and it's still good advice to this day. Proverbs 31 and 10 through 31, and I'm reading the contemporary English version this morning. A truly good wife is the most precious treasure a man can find. Her husband depends on her, and she never lets him down. She is good to him every day of her life, and with her own hands, she gladly makes clothes. She's like a sailing ship that brings food from across the sea. She gets up before daylight to prepare food for her family and for her servants. She knows how to buy land and how to plant a vineyard, and she always works hard. She knows when to buy or sell, and she stays busy up until late at night. She spins her own cloth, and she helps the poor and the needy. Her family has warm clothing, and so she doesn't worry when it snows. She does her own sewing, and everything she wears is beautiful. Her husband is well known and a respected leader in the city. She makes clothes to sell to shop owners. She is strong and graceful, as well as cheerful about the future. Her words are sensible, and her advice is thoughtful. She takes good care of her family and is never lazy. Her children praise her, and with great pride, her husband says, "There are many good women, but you are the best." Charm can be deceiving and beauty fades away, but a woman who honors the Lord deserves to be praised. Show her respect, praise her in public for what she has done. So this whole passage of Scripture speaks about virtue. Now, the biblical definition of virtue clearly points to us that virtue is a characteristic that comes and is imparted by God through Christ to the person, and then they practice. You know, it's like the fruits of the Spirit walking out in their life: kindness, goodness, mercy, grace, and those things begin to walk out in her life. As I said, Mother was a very godly woman. And so this morning, I'm going to share some things from Scripture about the highlights of this passage and about the fact that we all need to strive in the spiritual to be women of honor, virtuous women. We need to recognize that God gives us children and they're a gift. The kids that come to this church, whether they're adult kids or really kids, small kids, are gifts from God to this pastor to train up, to raise, to love, to care for, sometimes to reprove, certainly, because parents have to do that, and recognizing that God has placed them here for a season or time, whatever that may be. So it's more than just a story in the Bible about a mother telling her king son, "This is what you pick in a wife." This is about a woman who tends and cares for her family just as we in the spiritual or in the foster or the adoptive or the biologic realm should care for ours. So let's look at some of the highlights about what Proverbs 31 says about a virtuous woman. First off, she's of noble character and is trustworthy. Are you trustworthy? Can people believe that you'll do what you say you'll do? Well, a virtuous woman does what she says she's going to do when she says she's going to do it. She's an asset to her husband, or maybe she's an asset to her church. She's skilled in many realms. In the passage, it talks about her buying land and selling land, making clothes, selling clothes, dressing her family, but she's skilled in many realms. And she's concerned about her household. Are you concerned about your household? Are you concerned if you're a leader in the church and you teach children or youth or adults? Are you concerned about those individuals, those children that God has given you? And are you nourishing them? Are they well fed with the word of God? Another highlight is that she raises before dawn and is busy until after dark. She's a hard worker. She's not lazy. A virtuous woman is not a lazy woman. She's active about the things of God. She's active about her family. She's generous, too, and aware of the poor and the needy. And she's wise in preparing her family regarding the needs of the day that may come. She's proper in her relationships, and she's a woman of wisdom. She shows dignity and strength. And she's a faithful, I love this, she's a faithful instructor to her children, whether they're your biologics or they're your spiritual children. Are you a faithful instructor? We don't want to teach programs. We want to teach the Word of God. We want to plant the Word of God in children's lives. So, as Scripture says, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Because we know that once that seed is planted, it can't be ripped out. It's there. And so one day, someplace, somehow, the Holy Spirit breathes on that word and brings it to life. That's why planting the Word of God in individuals' lives is so important. Programs fail. Programs change. But the Word of God never fails and it never changes. And a virtuous woman is a wise instructor of that word. She recognizes its power and its strength and its advantage, and she plants it in her children. She's diligent to watch over her household, and she's the recipient of blessings and praise from her children and her husband. And that passage ends with, and above all, she's a God-fearing, godly woman. So this week on Facebook, one of my friends asked this question to Facebook friends. She asked, tell me one thing your mom taught you that you still do today or remember today. What was the one smell that you associate with your mom? So, oh my goodness, I thought through all this and I was like, okay, what's the one thing mother taught me? What shall I share? So you're thinking, what shall I share? And at first I thought, oh, I could share all these things. But the Holy Spirit kept saying, no, share the truth of the spiritual. So I shared the truth of the spiritual. I would say the one thing that mom taught Mike and I and that is still practiced this day is she taught us to pray morning and night before we got up and got going to pray and ask the Lord to cover and keep us. And before we went to sleep at night, the last thing to be, Lord, watch over and thank you for this day. She also taught us to read the Bible. I would say that her smell would be Cody powder. Do any of y'all even remember Cody powder? It came in a circular, it still exists on the market. It came in a circular thing and it has a very unique smell, beautiful smell. When I smell it, it's mother. Or White Shoulders, a cologne that she wore frequently. You see, the things mother taught us, she taught like the virtuous woman, by her words and her actions. I tell you this, I would give anything to hear mother's prayers again. Many nights I would lay in bed and I could hear her praying. After we had done our prayers, she would go on and do her prayers. And I could hear her praying, talking to the Lord. Now, when we were younger, mother would read a Bible story to us. And then Mike and I had to answer it, answer the questions. She would ask us questions and we had to answer. My church has heard this story many times. And if we didn't answer it right, she would reread the story till we would kind of get the question right. One of the treasures that we have is that children's Bible. My brother has that. And I have the test book that we had as little kids. And you know why mom did that? Because she understood instruction had power and value. The Word of God has power and value. And she was sinking it deep into our hearts as little children because she understood it would be what would hold us in life. It would be what drew us deeply and fully into relationship with Him. Mother lived a life of choice. We all live a life of choice. We can choose to praise God and serve God, or choose not to praise God and serve God. We can choose to trust Him in all realms, no matter if we understand the realms or not. We can choose to trust Him. And we can choose to serve Him and serve Him well. And she made these choices even though life was not always easy. But she had an unshakable faith that God was who He said He was and God would do what he said he would do. And that she taught us by her life and by the word of God that she helped seal in our hearts. I guess only in heaven when the book of life is revealed will we see how very many people her life touched. She served years in women's ministries in her church. She was a Sunday school teacher. And there wasn't a summer that went by that she wasn't rounding up people to teach in VBS. Many times the grandkids, when they were in college, would come over to the church and help out with VBS. Why? Why would someone do this? Because they love God. And they wanted to share the truth of his love with children. She loved children. And share that truth. She was a creative teacher. One Sunday morning, and this was when I was pastoring in that church, she was a hands-on kind of teacher. And she walked in and she was smiling and she had this bag. And she was going to teach about the presence of God and being in step with God. And so in this bag, I said, what are you doing? And she told me, and she said, well, feel this. And I reached in, and I felt something soft. And then she says, well, reach in again. And I reached in, and I felt something sharp. And it was a thorn. I said, Mother, what are you doing? And she said, they will remember this lesson. Well, here it is 25, 30 years later, and I'm telling you this story because I remember the lesson because it was active and participatory. The soft thing was a cotton ball, by the way. She was active in our school life. We couldn't get away with much because mom was the school mom, our room moms, and she was active in the parent-teacher association. She cared about our education, though she was not formally educated. She was determined that we be educated and attend school and do our best. I don't know how many places she drove choir members and I to for competitions. Why? Because it was easy? No. But because she wanted us to excel, and she wanted to help us achieve those things. I tell you this, I can't remember how many times visiting mom after I grew up, was an adult, it would be rest home day. That was Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I would forget, and I'd show up, and she'd say, come on and go with me. And I'd go with her to the rest home. And she would always say, there are people there that have no one that comes to see them. So we're going to go see them. And then she would say, you know, when I get old, and if I would have to live in one of these places, I would want someone to come see me. And so you see, the heart of God is manifested in believers by the fruit and the Spirit of God working in our lives. She was no saint. I'm not trying to say Mother was a saint. What I'm trying to tell you is she was a godly woman who understood the power of the word, the power of ministry, and that it would not only reap rewards for the individual that it was bestowed to, but that it would bring peace and reward to her in her ministry. One time, Mom told me this. We were just chatting, probably having a cup of coffee. And she said, she looked at me and she said, I just want you and Mike to be proud of me. We were then and we are now. She wanted us to love and serve God. Mamas, if you're listening, if you want your children to love and serve God, whether they're your biologic, your adoptive, your foster, or your spiritual children, if you want them to love God, let them see God in you. Pastors, if you want your people to love God, let them see God in you. You can, as pastors, we can go online and have 52 sermons pre-prepared for us and never have to study the word and never have to bend a book or bend a knee. But you will not replicate the power of the word unless it comes from the throne of grace to you, the pastor who is the shepherd and the overseer of those children God trusts to us, whether you're a male pastor or a female pastor. The word of God is powerful. It declares itself to be sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing, separating truth and non-truth. Preach the word. Women, let your children see you pray and read the Word. Help your children learn to talk to the Lord. Whether you teach them literally how to pray or you sit by them and let them hear you pray. Teach your children to love and serve God by the model of your life. Mother never said, come on, kids, I'm going to show you how to love God. Come on, kids, I'm going to show you how to serve God. That's not what she did. She walked her life out in unity with the Lord. She walked her life out loving and serving Him, though there were many difficult places in her life. I'll tell you, that was for Mike and I. But when the grandbabies came along, and they did, two of them, she thought they were the best ever. And there was no amount of miles that would separate the farm from where those kids were that she would not travel. I can't tell you of the number of recitals and sports games and grandparents' days and graduations that she made. Why? Because she wanted to be part of those children's lives. And she did the same thing with them that she did with Mike and I. When she would go and visit the kids, she would read the Word to them at night. And she would say, I watched her so many times with Tiffany and Bridget. She would say, come on, let's pray. And they would get down beside the bed and they would pray before they would go to sleep. That is what seals that child to a longing to know who this God is. Well, after those grandkids had kids, here came the great-grandkids. And the first great-grandchild arrived, and she thought he was perfect. In fact, she pronounced to all of us that he was perfect. And how many of you grandmas haven't done the very same thing? As your grandkids have come along, you thought they were perfect, and you thought your great-grands were perfect. But what I can tell you, with each new addition in the family, she thought they were all perfect. That they were all the best baby that they could be. And you know what? Into that generation, she had the same determination to be part of their lives and to share her love of God with them. I watched her with the great grandkids talk to them about Jesus. She had the Veggie Tales, and they would watch the Veggie Tales, but then she would pull her Bible out and she would want to tell them the stories of the Word. You go, well, isn't this about us too? Absolutely. It's about all of us, that we can model the love of God through doing the things of God and asking Him to let His Spirit grow in our lives. I can tell you this, she invested her gifts in the gift of her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. But I'll tell you who else she invested in. All the women that were part of women's ministry, all the men and women that were in the Sunday school classes, all those residents in the rest home, whether when she was healthy ministering and even into the group home that they lived in the last two months of their life, she was still talking about the Lord. She was still praying for residents. She invested her life in God and in sharing His truth with others. I can tell you this morning, as a spiritual mother and pastor, I've tried to model what the Word of God says about this and to model the things that she taught me. To love God and to see all the children, whether grown kids or young kids, as gifts to my life as a pastor, as rewards as a pastor. I've tried to be involved with them and teach them that praying, serving, learning His Word, burying His or planting His Word in our heart was the way to successfully maneuver life. I've tried to lead by following Him and loving the children God has given me. This godly woman that the writer of Proverbs 31 shares with us, we're talking about thousands of years past when she was inscribed in the Word of God. And we're still saying, this is the model of a godly woman. You may not sew clothes today. I don't know many mommies that sew clothes, though I didn't wear anything bought until I was in high school because my mom sewed all my clothes. You may not buy and sell land, but the point is that we be trustworthy, skilled in the things God puts in our hand, a person of our word, a person that watches over those that God has entrusted to us. Open your eyes and understand the people that come into your life, God has entrusted to you. They're not accidental. They're by the hand of God. That we can be hard workers and that we can be aware of those that are poor or needy or in a rest home and have no one. We can be wise in raising up our children in the faith, in the truth of the word, and that we can have proper relationships one with another. We as women of faith this day can be women of wisdom, dignity, and strength, but not in the natural. All of this stuff is spiritual. It's by the divine presence of the Spirit of God in our lives. Because if I just want to be a good person, my energy wears out. My strength wears out. If I just want to watch over and take something nice to people every now and then, a cake, a cookies, or whatever, oh, I'll wake up one day and I'm tired. But oh, when it's led by the Spirit, it's a whole different situation. We need to be faithful instructors of those that God has sent our way. Don't teach them programs. Teach them the Word of God in a language that they can understand, in a level that they can understand. And be diligent to watch over them. You know what that means? When you don't see them for a while, check on them. Pray for those God has entrusted to you, night and day. Lift them before the throne of mercy and grace. I want to be a godly woman. I want to be a wise woman. I want to be possessing of these virtues that King Lemuel's mama said to look for. He was looking for a wife, and her counsel was for a wife. But the counsel this morning is that there is more than this is to a wife. It's to a godly woman, the things that we should pursue. So ladies, this morning, on this Mother's Day, oh, if I could give every one of you a rose, I'd give you a rose, but that rose would fade and die or wilt and be gone in a day or two. So what I want to give you is the power of the Word of God that says, with Him all things are possible, through Him nothing is impossible, and that every child, every person that has come our way for instruction has been by the hand of God. It's been by His direction. So ladies, whether you this morning are a biologic mother, you're a foster mom, you're an adoptive mom, or you're a spiritual mom, be a virtuous woman. But recognize you cannot do it in your own strength. You must ask the Lord to help you be all that you can be in Him, through Him, and by the power of His Holy Spirit. You see, when we run after Him, He changes us. When we seek Him, when we spend time praying and reading His Word, we begin to change into His likeness. So the change begins by us fellowshipping with Him, and then His Spirit begins to do the work in our life. We need the Lord each and every day, and we need relationship with Him each and every day. So to the older woman this morning, I say, teach these things to the younger women. And to the younger women that may be listening, I say, reach out and embrace God's vision for you to be a virtuous woman. Because the 31st verse of that proverb says this: let her works praise her at the city gates. Let people recognize and see the presence of God in you. I pray that the Lord richly bless each and every one of you this day. And Mama in heaven, I love you. I was and I still am so proud of you and so glad that God gave me to you and you to me. I'm thankful for the people God has given me in ministry through these many, many years. And I bless his name for each and every one. Now may the Spirit in the presence of the Lord be with each and every one of you. May he give you his peace. May his counsel be upon you. And may this word of God shared this morning take root in your life. And may the Spirit of God bring transformation to each and every hearer, listener, and doer of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless and keep you.